So it's 4:20 p.m. Saturday, I believe the 26th of November, 26th, 27th. I'm not entirely sure. I should know this because it's an important date. Nada, it's an important date. Hello, Nada, how are you? I'm here at Adam Ford's house. I remember recording some audio for you would have been, golly, about 2 years ago now, crumbs, I think, when I had just reconciled with Jess Kilby and was really ecstatically happy about that. I'm once again at Adam Ford's house. We're having a Pedigreenaway marathon and cheese-eating event, which I have been looking forward to, and Adam also has been looking forward to, and we've been planning this thing for months, you know, and I'm very excited because, yeah, basically it consists of watching 12 hours worth of Peter Greenaway movies, Peter Greenaway being this British film director who's been a huge seminal influence on me, and I loved his movies as a child, and he's completely shaped my entire view of the world. So going to Adam Ford's house, which is just an excellent place to be, and I can tell you that right now, walking around, it's really good here. Adam and Dave were out with me on the balcony, but they've just disappeared into Adam's room for some reason. Dayton's gone to buy alcohol. Carl von Bamberger, my housemate, is on his way. I believe that my friend Sarah is also on her way. Adam's feeling a bit disillusioned because, as is invariably the case, he organises these movie marathons. He organises these movie marathons that are incredibly awesome. Adam and Dave are watching something funny on YouTube right now, which is entertaining them. But he organises these he has awesome parties. Like, he has New Year's Eve parties and he has a birthday party every year. And those are awesome and everybody comes and everybody knows that Adam's parties are awesome. But he also has these movie marathons, like, where we will sit and watch David Lynch for fucking 12 hours or Peter Greenaway, as we're doing today, for 12 hours. And no cunt comes. And I don't understand this. I don't understand why anyone would choose not to come to Adam's house and watch Peter Greenaway for 12 hours. But that seems to be the case. And so he's feeling a bit downcast about that. And I'm feeling a bit downcast, as you know, as I've spoken to you about, as we have spoken about, as I was meaning to speak to in this audio, although, as it happens, I'm so downcast about, quite frankly, people letting me down and not doing what I want them to do and disappointing me, which makes me sad. That I have stupidly, like an idiot, been up all night drinking. And I am tired and still sobering up. I'm doing this event in reverse. Like, normally when you go to something like this, you arrive sober and gradually become more drunk as it progresses. I'm doing it backwards. I arrived incredibly drunk and I'm gradually getting more sober. I'm drinking coffee right now. Adam doesn't actually have a coffee plunger, so I had to boil water in a saucepan and then pour coffee into the water and then pour it into the cup through a strainer, sort of camping styles. And I'm drinking coffee and sobering up. But, you know, I'm not too downcast because I'm at Adam's house watching Peter Greenaway in ridiculous excessive amounts, you know, and you just can't complain in that kind of situation. But in general, you know, I'm frustrated with people. I'm frustrated. I was going to point it at him, but actually, you know what? He is an exception to the rule. He has not let me down. But the Melbourne City Council and their continued harassment of Occupy Melbourne is annoying me. Robert Doyle, the Mayor of Melbourne, is annoying me. My sister, who I'm feuding with very close to Christmas, which is annoying, is badly letting me down. I'm very angry at her. There's this other chick who Adam knows about that I'm very angry at and annoyed with and who I've spoken to you about before. And then there's this other chick. It's always women. Why is it always women, Nada? Tell me. You're one of them. Tell me why. And it's just sort of like, I don't know, I think and I think and I think and I think, but I can't figure out why. And I wish I could speak more specifically to your situation that you wrote to me about in some length, because it was interesting in terms of, it's this thing about you sort of invest emotionally in a person and you develop certain expectations of them on the basis of that. You sort of think, well, you know, I've given all this stuff to you and I've sort of tried and worked quite hard for you and, you know, can you do that for me as well, please, maybe? And they don't. And you just sort of go, well, you know, it's disappointing and you feel ripped off. But human relations are complex and you can't control people. You can't control people. You can't make them do what you want. Just because you want them to do something doesn't mean that they're going to do it or that they should. And this is hard sometimes. It's tricky and difficult. And I wish I could speak to your situation in more concrete or specific terms, but I don't have your message in front of me, although I did read it and digest it and I've thought about it, because it seems like, yeah, as I said, a bit of a mirror image of the situation I find myself in with Gab, who had all kinds of expectations of me that, you know, I couldn't actually fulfill. And I tried to be clear with her about that. I was always explicit with her about that. I was sort of like, I'm your friend and I care about you and, you know, I'll be there for you in terms that I understand always, you know, and I meant that. And I stick to that to this day. But I can't necessarily meet your expectations or demands that you seem to have of me. And I'm sorry about that. But that doesn't mean that I'm not your friend and that I don't care about you. And she seemed to understand that, but she sort of got more and more frustrated with that to the point where she just sort of snapped one day and kind of skitzed out of me and went, "Tuh, fuck you." And, you know, that was very upsetting for me because I wasn't expecting that to happen. And basically we just had a communication failure. And that to me is the core of the matter. If people can't communicate properly, or if they are not, that, you know, there's not a sort of channel whereby they can exchange information in a meaningful way between each other, then these things will happen because they're not, I can't state it any more explicitly or plainly than that, and they're not communicating properly, and that's bad. Looks like Carl's just arrived, Jason's just come back, but I really think it's good if people can, and, you know, and that's the thing, it has to happen naturally. One can't force these things. This is what I'm finding with my sister. It's like fucking, despite the fact that, you know, we've sort of known each other longer and better than anyone else in both our cases in the world, we still have this thing of, like, sometimes when we're trying to communicate, it's like pulling fucking teeth. And what's that about? What is it about? I don't know. I don't know the answer. But, yeah, it is disappointing and frustrating when you sort of have certain expectations of people and they don't live up to those expectations. But so it goes. We've got Carl. He's just arrived with an umbrella. And we're going to watch Drowning by Numbers now, which traditionally was always my favourite movie in the whole world through my teenage years. Drowning by Numbers was it. So, you know, I should be soberer and more excited and more awake than I am. And so I'm drinking some coffee. Cheese, we've got shitloads of cheese. I miss The Cook, Thieves, Wife and I Love It. Dachin and Adam watched that before I arrived. And I arrived about halfway through A Zed and Two Noughts, which finished, and now we're going to watch Drowning by Numbers. Then we're going to watch The Falls and get pizza, and then we're going to watch Night Watching, which is a more recent work based on this painting by Rembrandt. I think it's Rembrandt. Night Watch, which is kind of like a throwback to The Draftsman's Contract, which was Peter Graham's first sort of proper commercial feature film, which is going to be screened at the next Greenaway. That you probably don't care about this at all. Again, we say, like, I'm all concerned about my shit. I don't care about your shit. I do care about your shit, but people tend to be focused on themselves. People are self-absorbed. Megan, my sister, is self-absorbed. She cares about her shit. She doesn't care how I feel. And this annoys me. Annoys me very much. It's good to care about how other people feel and not just about oneself. Possibly is the moral of the story. I don't know. For example, you know, I was going to speak to all this stuff you wrote me about your boyfriend and stuff, which I read, actually, and thought quite a lot about. But I've said nearly nothing about that. I've just talked about myself. I'm sorry. Maybe I will later if you want to hear what I have to say about it, because I did have some things to say. Like, as you were saying, you feel as though you've outgrown each other, or like your relationship has, you know, you had a certain system of relating to each other that worked in the past but doesn't seem to be working now. And you can't seem to communicate to him that it's not working for you, like you're not getting what you need out of the situation. And yeah, possibly the thing to do is to let it go, but still be kind, be nice to him. Don't just cut him out of your life and throw him away like a piece of garbage, please, because chicks have done that to me when they've reached that point of feeling like this is not working and I'm better off without this situation, and just sort of gone, well, you're worthless. And that's not very nice. It really hurts when you do that to someone. So please, not that I'm suggesting you might have been considering that, but, you know, be nice to the poor bastard. Please, be kind. Wow. Yeah, I'm emotional and drunk and sort of angry at myself myself because I've typified exactly what I'm angry and frustrated about at other people, like other people not making the effort, not going that extra mile, not rising to the occasion. And here we have, you know, an occasion. It's a motherfucker of an occasion, and I haven't risen to it. I've arrived, you know, yeah, drunk and on no sleep to this epic legendary occasion. And so I've let myself down, I've let Adam down. I'm the worst person in the world, and everyone else is the worst person in the world too. But you know what? I'm at Adam Ford's house. We're watching 12 Hours of Pellegrino. I'm drinking coffee. I'm just about to smoke a cigarette. We've got shitloads of cheese. Carl just turned up. Sarah might come later. Various other people will probably come. And really, one has no right to complain. One has absolutely no right to complain at all whatsoever. Like, there's just... actually, everything's great and life is good. Whoa. So, you know, I should probably just get over it. I probably should. me, it's all about me. How are you? I hope that you're well, or at least you're right. You must be approaching... No, you're not approaching the end of school. When does school finish? It's different in America, of course. I don't know. Actually, I don't even know about university in America. I know that the school is spaced out differently. Like, in Australia, we do it on a yearly basis, whereas you do this weird thing where you've got the actual school year starts at the beginning of summer, which is in the middle of the year, and then you take a break over Christmas, but it's not a very long break, and then you continue on. Yeah, the big break is in summer, which is in the middle of the year. I don't know if university years work that way as well, but once you finish your university year, you'll be free, apparently. Yeah, I think that's all for now. I'm almost tempted to get other people to talk, but I don't think anyone's inclined to talk. Adam, do you want to say a few words? I'm talking to my friend Nada in New York.
Who?
Nada, after whom my cat was named.
Hello, Nada!
Adam says hello. I have a long history of recording messages for Nada at your house. Or at least I've done it before once about 2 years ago.
Wait, you're not actually talking to
him? No, I'm just recording a message. Yeah. I'm monologuing.
You're doing that for approximately 10 minutes.
13 minutes, 17 seconds to be precise, and that is the point at which I think we should close. Good evening. Good afternoon. It's only 4:35. Yeah, start at 4:20, it's now 4:35. That's about right.
I need a cunting cigarette.
Carl needs a cunting cigarette, and I think that I might join him.